Thanks everyone for allowing me to stand again today here. I was so very blessed with the worship and just seeing everybody connecting with the heart of God. You know, I was telling the guys that I came with that I grew up in church. I think I've spoken about it before here as well. And I've been going to church every Sunday. I can't remember how many Sundays I've ever missed. You know, growing up, I've been to church every Sunday. But what amazes me is that every time I go to church, there is something special about it that makes it look as if it was a new experience. Because I've come to understand that when I'm going to church, I have an appointment with God. I'm not doing a checklist. Yes, there was a season where I was forced to go to church because I didn't know what church was. When I was a kid, I was forced to go to every services. Yes. But there also came to a time where when I realized what church was and who God is, and I was thankful to my parents that forced me to go to church while I didn't understand. So I'm very grateful to be here and to share the word with you. And I'm going to be sharing with you from Psalm 23. It's one of the psalms that I really love, and I've been pondering around it. I don't think I'll be able to give every single thing, you know, about Psalm 23. It's got so much to speak about and so much to discuss on. But in the few minutes that we have, we are going to go through almost all the verses. And we are going to really get what God wants us to grab this morning as a message. And we are going to really realign ourselves where God wants us to align ourselves. You know, 7 years ago, I joined the church in Rondebosch. While the church was still in its beginning. Actually, what happened is I was invited to an event. I mean, there was during the World Cup. There was an event, like some missions. And then there was one of the ladies that used to be part of Shofar Rondebosch. She was leading worship. Now, she needed musicians to help her in terms of leading the worship. And then I was among the musicians that were contacted. And back then, I didn't have a church. And then we worshiped together, and funny enough, from everyone that was in that band, I was the only person that remained in contact with her. And now, a few weeks later, I was working on my project, my album, and I said to her, well, you know, I'm not an English-speaking person, and I would love to record my album with people that are English-speaking, and would you like to come and do some harmonies and some vocals? And we became friends, started visiting each other, and then at one time she invited me to church. And when she invited me to church, funny enough, she invited me to come and sing, because they were doing a song where she wanted me to sing with them. So the first time I was in Shofar Rondebosch, I sang. And she said to me, "What? The pastor often wants to know who is this person, but he didn't ask me anything, he just said, yes, you can come." And then I came, and then I sang. And then a few times later, she went to Bethel Church for School of Supernatural Trainings. And I was just home on my own. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, just go and visit again that church. And then I went. From that particular Sunday until today, I've been there. Because the Lord planted me there. But now what happened is, a year later, we had Convergence Conference. And I think it was the first Convergence. And it happens that the church wanted to do some missions in DRC. So a mission team went to DRC, and because my dad is the pastor, so my dad hosted them and received them and did everything. And then he was invited to come to Convergence, so he came as well. He attended the Convergence Conference. But a week before, my dad wore glasses, so he has issues with his eyes. So his left eye, while he went to his doctor, they did put a medicine on his left eye. And what happened is that the left eye, it affected the retina. So now he lost sight of the left eye because there was an overdose. So now the physician or his doctor couldn't see or didn't know what to do. He told him there is nothing that we can do. That happened a week before he came to Convergence. So he said to me, well, I'm coming, but please find out for me if there is some ophthalmologist where I can go and maybe go and check, because it's, you know, he didn't give me details. So when he came, he attended the conference, and then a week after, we went to Grotesquieu, went to some private hospital, and then went to Grotesquieu because Grotesquieu was a little bit cheaper compared to privates, even though it was also very, very expensive. We had to pay more than 24,000 rand. That was in 2010 for that. But that surgery, it was one of the surgeries which they were not already keen to do easily with foreigners at the Grotesquieu Hospital. But miraculously, they booked an appointment. And actually, during that period, the left eye recovered sight. And the Lord really intervened mightily. Why? Because the Lord cares for us. So God knew that in 2010, I will be in Cape Town. And he orchestrated things in such a way that I had to meet that friend of mine that brought me to church. And then he knew that there was going to be something called Convergence Conference. And then he set up everything because he wanted to save the sight of his servant. You know, God is not very surprised with the circumstances that we go through, the things that we face in our lives. God knows them. Why? Because he cares. He's our shepherd. So David, when he was a little boy, growing up, he was a shepherd. He was taking care of the sheep of his father. But now, shepherding was something that David understood very well. And actually, some commentaries, some scholars agree that this psalm might have been written by David while he was still shepherding. And you know, today we're not living in a context where we are exposed to shepherding, so we don't really know much about it. Perhaps people growing up in farms might have an idea, but I don't think we do have a bigger picture about what does it look to be a shepherd. You know, I've taken care of my dad's cows as well. My dad had some cows. Maybe I have a little bit of an idea, but not much. David understood that. But funny enough, if you read in Genesis, when Jacob is prophesying over Joseph, in Genesis 48, one of the things that he says about God while he's prophesying over Joseph, he calls God the shepherd of Israel. That is actually one of the first times when God is introduced as a shepherd. There is several times in Psalms where God is called the shepherd of Israel. David as well, as a king, he was also called the shepherd. So this theme or this title of shepherd was also one of the metaphoric way of describing kings in the Old Testament. So if you want to have a little bit of an idea around that, you can read Psalm 78, verse 71. It says, I will actually read from 70, verse 70. It says, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold, from following the nursing ewes. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. You see, David is described as a shepherd over Israel. And if you read as well some of the prophecies in Jeremiah concerning Cyrus the king that actually released the Israelites to go and rebuild the temple, the scripture describes him as God raising him up as a shepherd. So now the Bible says that the Old Testament, the things in the Old Testament, were the shadow of the things to come. So when we look at the picture of shepherd, prophetically speaking, everything was pointing to the real shepherd, the good shepherd, to the one who introduced himself as the good shepherd, Jesus. So, like I said, kings were introduced as shepherds. Because why? King decide what happened to the people. Whatever they say becomes a decree. So, in the Psalm 23, verse 1, David says that the Lord He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What do we see there? We see David understanding the role of God as a shepherd in his life. He was so confident in who God was toward him. And even in matters that were visible and even matters that were invisible. I'm talking about the things of the present and the things of the future. So David was so secure that every part of his future days were assured by God. Therefore, he made a statement. He said that in every single day of my life, God shall provide. In other words, he was saying, in every circumstances, whether in matters that are under my control or even matters that aren't in my control, God is my provider. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. In Zimbabwe, there are people that 20 years ago were millionaires. And 20 years later, they became poor because of the circumstances of life. Things may change around. But David got to a point where he was so secured in knowing God as the shepherd, as the one that would provide for him. This kind of statement can only be made by somebody that have come to a place of trusting God, of trusting the faithfulness of God, being willing to provide no matter what. You know, there are things that aren't in our control. Tomorrow isn't in our hands. What would happen next year? It is in our hands. What if all the banks where we have put our money crash? And maybe there is some robbery. The next day we wake up poor. But it doesn't matter. We as believers, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Our faith isn't in the bank. Our faith isn't in the bank account. Our faith isn't in the president. Our faith is not in our families. But our faith is in God. That is what Jesus, even after doing all the miracles, he said to his disciples, have faith in God. So this is a statement of faith of somebody that have come to a place where he's secured in God. Even in matters that are in his control, even those that aren't in his control. You know, and this is a statement of somebody that have come to an understanding that God cares for him. Just like I told you the story of my dad. Even when he did not have any idea that such a thing would happen, God still provided. God still made a way. Why? Because he's a shepherd. Shepherds, they care. Shepherd, they feed. Shepherd, they lead. Shepherd, they protect. If you read in Ezekiel chapter 34, God is rebuking the shepherds of Israel. He's saying to them that you do not care. You are just taking care of yourself. You are not feeding my people. I will shepherd my people. In other words, I will take care of them. I will make sure they are protected. I will make sure they are fed properly. Because if sheep aren't fed properly, guess what? They won't be healthy. Therefore, they can die. You know, scriptures describe us as the sheep of God. Why? Because he takes care. He makes sure. Because sheep aren't supposed to carry burdens. It is shepherds that carry his burden. So God says, cast your burden unto me. Cast your care unto me. Why? Because he is the shepherd. Many times, we become depressed in our lives. People go through depression often because we carry burdens that we are not supposed to carry. Burdens that we had to learn to bring to God. Sometimes we carry them. Therefore, it becomes tough. God cares for us. Really want to remind you, you probably know this, that God really loves you. That God loves you. No matter the mistake you have made in the past, no matter the sin you have made in the past, even if you've killed someone before, God loves you
and he cares for you because he cares for his sheep. When Peter makes the statements, when Jesus asks him, do you love me? This is after Jesus had resurrected, Peter denied Jesus later. He says, do you love me? He said, yes. Jesus says, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Third time, do you love me? Jesus said, feed my sheep. Why? Because if the sheep aren't fed, they will die. They will die. And this morning, what I've come to tell you is that God is your shepherd. And he's calling you to a place like David, where no matter how your circumstances may look like, you may say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Not because you've mastered how things work, but because you've chosen to put your trust in him. And because his character and his heart calls him to a place of caring about you and caring about this nation, about your family. So I'm not giving you a sermon today so that you may have a to-do list. Just reminding you of the love that God has for you as a congregation, of the love that God has for you as a family, that the love that God has as an individual. Because sometimes we get caught up, we sing, we do things in the church, but we just don't know that God loves. Sometimes I get that. I can sing, I do a lot of stuff at church. But sometimes there is a place where I need to come to God as a child. And say, oh, Father, thank you. Because my younger siblings, they know me as a big brother. Students, they know me as their pastor. My father knows me as a son. So sometimes when I'm in the preaching mode, I can make a mistake. But at the same time, I can switch and go as a child and say, oh, Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you take care of me. And it is very important for us to really come into that place. That is the space I'm talking about. The space where we are secure. That when we say, Father, forgive me, that he's willing to forgive because he cares for us. When we have fear of the future, you know, many times we have fear of the future because we aren't secured in who he is toward us, in his character and his heart and his nature to take care of us. And the second thing, one of the things that he says that he leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. One of the things that the shepherd does, he leads. He leads. And you know, Jesus said, I will never leave you as orphans, but I will send you the comforter. He will guide you. He will lead you. You know, while I didn't understand why I met this particular girl or this particular lady, God was still leading my steps without me necessarily figuring out all the dots. You see, God leads us even when we struggle to understand what he's really doing. And he protects us even when we do not understand. I always love the testimony of Pastor Reno. He says that when he was not a Christian yet, his mom used to pray for him. And sometimes she would see a vision of him being picked up by somebody and being brought home. You know, he would go and drink. But then his mom, she would be praying. She would see actually somebody picking him up in a vision and bringing him back home. So even while he was still away from Christ, Christ protected him. That's why Moses, even when he was still a baby on this river, God took care of him before he made any prayer. Because why? He cared for him. He cared for him. While you and I were still sinners, while we were still in the world making things where we would have died, there are people who drove drunk maybe once only in their lives and they died. They died. You know, I was chatting to a girl recently. She was dating with a guy, and because of an accident, you know, he came to even that had an effect on his mind as well. you and I have been driving maybe for many years. Never such a thing happened to us. It isn't because you've passed the drive license test. No, because God takes care of you. Even when you didn't pray, even when you sinned, even when you offended somebody, God still took care of you because He loves you unconditionally. That is the heart of the shepherd. And He leads, He guides, He takes us to the place where we are supposed to be. But you know, there is also another side of leading. We cannot be led by God unless we allow Him to be the leader. Unless we allow Him. Yes, in His sovereignty, sometimes He makes things. There is also a space where we have to allow Him. We have to acknowledge that He's the shepherd. And therefore, as He calls us by name, we follow Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hears My voice." So it's very important for me, as I'm waking up in the morning, I say, "Lord, yes, in the next 5 years, what are the things that You are calling me to that I need to be part of? What is the move that I need to take? What is the move that You are making that I need to make? What are the things that are in front of me that I'm still blind to that I need to see? What is the sounds that I need to hear that I can sing, that I can speak? So that I may reposition myself doing the will of God." Jesus said, "I came to do the will of God, of My Father." The church of Jesus Christ is the church that hears the voice of God. There is one sentence being repeated through every single church in the book of Revelation. It says, "Let those who have ears hear what the Spirit says to the church." And even on our individual life, God, He is the shepherd. There is a place where He is calling us to trust Him so that He may lead. Many times we are afraid to give Him the leadership because we're not always secure in His love. That's why sometimes this prayer of "Lord, Your will," sometimes it sounds like a scary prayer to pray. Because we already have our options. You know, it's like sometimes I get students to come to me and say, "You know, Matthew, I like that girl. So, what do you say?" I'm like, "Well, you've already liked her. So what do you want me to say? Because you're already dating her before you date her, actually, in your mind." So, you know, sometimes we come to God like that because we've already moved on and we just want to do God to do, like, you know. And so what I'm saying is, like I said, our God is really calling us to a place where we can trust in His character. Where we know that the best person we can speak to is Jesus about anything. And the struggle we have to come boldly, like the scripture says, when we come to the throne of God, we should come boldly knowing that He is and is the reward of those who diligently seek His face. That boldness is birthed from a place of beholding His goodness, beholding His character, beholding who He is, and trusting in Him. But if we can't behold His goodness, it will be very, very difficult for us to come into the place where this psalmist was, knowing that God cares for him, that God will lead him into the right path, and that God is willing as well to bring him into the place where he has to be to restore him. It speaks about the heart of God to bring us where we are supposed to be. That is the heart of God. If there are things in your life that you are struggling with, if there are issues in your family that you are struggling with, if there are personal things that you can't even talk to somebody about, there is one person that you can still trust, that you can still run to, Christ, because He feels your pain. He feels your hurt. He feels your rejection. He can identify with you. He is the high priest. He is the shepherd. And His heart is to restore you. You can pray this prayer even before the battle. The Israelites with Joshua, they sang a song of praise while attacking the land, while conquering the land. That is a shift that happens when people really know who God is. Remember, Moses sang a song of deliverance after crossing the Red Sea. But when Joshua was were about to step into the promised land, God said to Joshua to put the worshippers, people who play the trumpets, in front. They had almost to worship before entering the promised land, before the victory. Why? Because they trusted in the same God who took them from Egypt. If he did it, he can still do it. And this is a statement of faith, that he restores my soul. How is your soul doing? I know sometimes when we say it is well, many times we say it by faith. But sometimes it's not really well. Even if it's not well, God cares. And what is his heart? He came to restore. That's why Jesus, speaking about his ministry, introduced himself by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted." If you look at everything that Christ mentions, it has to do with the shepherding coming to restore his people. And the hearts of God, in the matters where the enemy have come to destroy, the heart of God this morning to you is to tell you that his heart is to restore. You cannot fix yourself, but he can, because he cares for you. He knows your past, he knows your present, he knows your future. Therefore, you can trust him as the shepherd. David, when he was about to challenge or to fight against Goliath, he quotes, he says, "Well, this God who delivered me while I was fighting against lions when they came to fight against you." In other words, David was wrestling against the different lions that came to hit the sheep. This is what God does. He protects us. He leads us. He watches over us. Even when we are ignorant, he does. When we can truly know who he is, then when we are in trouble, the first thing that we'll do, we'll cry out to him. We won't complain. We won't blame anybody, but we'll go to him first, because he's our rock, he's the foundation of our faith. And he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This is a statement of somebody that acknowledges the presence of God through the journey of intimidation. We all get through times in our lives where we feel intimidated by life, where there are things that really can shake us, where we can be intimidated about what's coming next. Or sometimes there is sometimes demonic attacks in our lives. Sometimes it could even be physical. There are people who rob people. There are people who do crazy things. But we can get intimidated. I remember I was recently in Paro. I went to a concert. When I got there, I got to the venue. The Holy Spirit said to me, "Leave." Christian concert. "Leave the venue now." 5 minutes later, gangsters came there with knives, guns, crazy stuff. Why? Because he cared for me. He still wanted me to be in front of you today to obey his voice and to fulfill his mandate over my life. I was clueless. I was in the venue. I suddenly sensed in my spirit that the atmosphere wasn't great. And the Lord spoke to me and I left. Why? He cares. Even when I'm clueless. Yesterday, I took a taxi. When I got into a taxi, I sensed in my spirit there was something funny. And I said to the driver, when we reach a certain point, I said to him, "Drop me now." You know what? That driver wasn't going to town. It was two guys. It wasn't a taxi. After I got off, this is, if you know the main road from Rondebosch, if a taxi drives straight to town, they don't go off the direction which leads to the M5. When I got off, that is exactly, because when I wanted to pay, the guy said, no, you don't have to pay. But before that, I sensed something fishy. Why? The Lord cares. First of all, when we got there, the light went red. I said, thank you, Lord. I got off there. And then the guy was not even going to town. The Lord takes care of his people. Even when I go through the fire of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? Because my trust is in him. My trust is in him. Are you intimidated? Is there some spiritual challenges? Sometimes there is demonic attacks that comes over our lives. But there is a place where we can say, Father. Because sometimes, you know, even in families, sometimes there is strongholds, there are issues that are there that we just don't know how to deal with them. God cares for us. Recently, I was doing a deliverance with a student guy. He came to me. He struggles to sit on his note for 30 minutes because he would hear voices ministering to him. Even last year, I had a student who couldn't sleep because when he slept, he'll sleep. When he wants to wake up, he'll feel hands that will hold him on the bed. He'll get stuck. He'll literally feel hands, and he couldn't switch off the light of his room because there were demonic forces. When he came to see me last year, I said to him, man, this is a small thing. So he went to one of the rooms at the office. I said to him, okay, stand. I said to him, just relax. So I took two students where they started praying. And suddenly, the power of the Lord came on him. And when the power of the Lord came on him, he lost his consciousness. Because the demon was manifesting. He started breathing funny. The two guys were afraid. I started laughing. I said, I don't have to perform for this demon. Because I know I'm a child of God. It's like when the devil came to tempt Jesus. Jesus already heard the Father who said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. So when he came to tempt him and see if you're a son of God, Jesus was like, I don't have to perform for you. So this guy was breathing funny, lost his consciousness, and the Lord gave me a direction. Suddenly, I prayed. I just said one prayer. The power of God came on him again. He fell. And then he screamed like crazy. He wasn't even aware of what he was doing. And then the Lord showed me something else. Laid my hands on the particular place where the Lord showed me, on his feet. From that particular day until today, that man sleeps like a baby. In fact, he gave his offering message recently in church, 2 weeks ago. He's one of our leaders, and UCT have employed him. He's actually lecturing at UCT. Why? Because God cares. We're not afraid. We're not afraid. That's the kind of God we serve. God is not a philosophy. God is a person to be known. He's a shepherd. As we walk, even through our pain, he still walks with us. That is why Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Abednego, when they were put in the fire, actually got I think I usually see that like a movie. Instead of God kind of removing the fire or maybe switching off the fire, he pitched up there. And he started entertaining himself with them. Because the king, when he got there, he saw the fourth person in that particular prison. Right in the fire, he was still with them. I just want to remind you that God is with you. I know sometimes there are certain situations in life where even the friends become useless. I'm telling you, I've had circumstances in my life where even the friends become useless. You chase a demon, nothing. You speak to a friend, nothing. You speak to a small group leader, nothing. I go to the pastor, nothing. But I had to know that the shepherd, Jesus, is with me. There are situations like that. You might get some where even your accountability partner becomes useless. Sorry, I'm just being real. Sorry. That is why, even me as the leader, I'm not the solution of the people that I lead. Jesus is the solution. I can only obey what he says. That's all I can do. I can only obey. I'm not the solution. Jesus is. So, even as you go through those circumstances where your friends become useless, Jesus remains the faithful friend, the good shepherd who cares, who knows your pain, who is present to your pain, who can identify with you and restore your soul. And the next thing that he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I love this. If you read in Luke 7, verse 46, Jesus is in one of the Pharisees' house, and there is a woman that was a prostitute. She comes to him. She pours the ointment on his feet. And then Jesus said, well, I came into this house, you did not anoint my head. Why? Because according to the custom back then, when somebody came into your house, one of the ways to honor the guest was to anoint his head. So, what David is doing here is describing God as the host, as the one who's hosting him. And David is painting a picture as well of intimacy. You will see that in the Old Testament, many times when people were sharing food together on a table, covenants were even made while they were sharing. And remember Jesus as well, when he speak about the new covenant, he was sharing, this is what we did now. We're just reminding of what Christ did, the communion that we had. It was on the table. But now David describes in this picture how this shepherd that provides for him, that takes care of him, that he has journeyed with him through tough times, through hell, and now he leads him to a place where he hosts him. And when he hosts him, as a way to honor him, he anoints his head. This is a picture of God honoring his people in his praises. That's the picture of the anointing. It has to do with God honoring the sheep that he's hosting in his praises. And I think this is something that we mix sometimes in the way we come to God. Where we truly know that God is the host. Even as we come to worship, even when we do quiet times, that God is the host. And when we come to him, guess what? He doesn't condemn us. He honors us. And it is an aspect that we don't often get, where God celebrates your identity and your destiny before it is fulfilled. Exactly what he did with Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So this is a picture of being hosted by God. Just imagine God hosting you. Maybe some of us here are very good at hosting people at our house. But now imagine how much more God will. And many times when we come before, that's what the scripture says, when we come, we have to come boldly. Because our God is our shepherd. And when we come to him, he is the host. And what does he do? He honors, he celebrates who we are. In fact, when you read Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating, when he made the fish, spoke to the waters, the fish was created. Many things that were created, you'll see that there was a preceding thing to which God spoke. And then that thing was made. Before he made the stars, he made the firmament first. Before he made the fish, made the waters first. Before he made the plants, made the grounds first, or the soil, or all the earth. But the only thing that God created where he didn't speak to anything, he spoke to himself. It was when he created us. That is why, when we come to him, he hosts us because he can see himself. When we come to him, he can see himself. It's amazing, like Yaku's son. When I look at him sometimes, I'm like, wow, I can see Yaku on his face. You know, and that's how God feels. Because when we come to him, he doesn't see a visitor. He sees his son. He sees his daughter. And he can see himself. That is why the scripture says that he is enthroned through the praises of his people. He doesn't visit. No, he dwells. That is the picture. That's one of the things that David understood, that God celebrated his identity and his destiny. Like I said again, I just want you to know that God loves you. God loves you. You know, I heard a testimony of a guy in India, and this guy was in a nightclub, and they were playing, and he, not a Christian, Hindu guy, and then there were some missionaries. What they did, they just went into the club, and one of them just said to him, God loves you, and he left. That statement started hitting on his head like crazy. He ended up following the guy. He said, wow, that moved my heart. Just that statement. We, church attendees, sometimes we have all of these lingos and we take them lightly. It's like when someone says, God bless you. We are so used to it. But we don't know that it's a powerful statement. When a man says, God bless you, there is an impartation that takes place in his heart. There is an exchange. In other words, he is empowered to go boldly for the next season of his life because of the grace of God surrounding him. This is what Jacob did with his sons. He spoke blessing over them, prophesied over them. God loves you. Recently, we were worshiping last week at the church. Before we started leading worship, the Lord just gave me one word for the band. He said, you are precious. Sometimes, like I said, we ministers, sometimes we can be busy and preaching and do the... But sometimes the Lord calls us to a place where we can just be his children. And just know that he's not after my preaching, he's not after my worship, he's not after my voice, he's not after my performance. He just wants me to be with him. That's what Jesus, when he went to heaven, he said he went to prepare a place so that where he is, we will also be. That is the heart of God. That is the heart of God. Many times we feel as visitors in God's presence because there is a sense where we don't really love the presence of God. We often just want the presence of God, or we need that presence. Saul, the difference between Saul and King, I believe, and David, is that Saul, when he was in trouble, he knew how important the presence of God was. He went, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord didn't answer him. And then he ended up going to a magician. But David, not only he knew how important the presence of God was, but David loved the presence of God. That is why he said, this is the one thing that I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in his house, to look upon his beauty and inquire in his temple. What is the one thing that we are longing for? What is the, if God had to come and ask us, what is the one thing that we long for? Many times it is not his presence because we don't know him as the shepherd. Because we haven't come to a place of being secured in him. Where we truly know that this is the one who provides. This is the one who secures. This is the one who restores. And this is the one who is not waiting for me, but he has already hosted me and is honoring me. That is why, as Christians, one of the things that's really, that is beautiful, that makes a difference, we are all anointed ones. The anointing of God is upon us. Why? Because, yes, God is the host. In Christianity, God is the host. Therefore, every child of God, on every child of God, there is an anointing. On every one of us, there is an anointing. But guess what? The anointing cannot have its effect on you unless you've become aware of it. The presence of God in a place can only become effective when people become aware of that presence. God is everywhere. Even in the witch doctor's house, God is there. But the problem is that man doesn't acknowledge that presence, doesn't honor that presence, doesn't step in faith then respond appropriately to that presence of God. As we are sitting here, there are also people sitting, planning evil things. Even there, God is. But the problem is, they don't acknowledge His presence, and they don't respond appropriately to that presence. Therefore, they cannot see the fruit of His presence. Because the Bible says there is fullness of joy in His presence. Why there's no fullness of joy there? Because they are not aware of the presence of God. They are not aware of the shepherd because they don't respond appropriately. Therefore, that cannot happen. The anointing of God, Bible says it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Some of the yoke that we are still carrying just have to do with the fact that we haven't become aware of God hosting us in His presence and honoring us. God honors people who come in His presence. That's what the Bible says. We, with unveiled faces, we are beholding the glory of the Lord like in a mirror. And we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's the power of Christianity. And now he says, and my cup of overflow speaks about the fragrance. The Bible says we are to God, we are the fragrance of Jesus to the Father. You know, Christianity is not a philosophy. You see, when we truly have the life of Christ, there are times where we don't need to give a sermon for the world around us to know that we are Christians. We just have to be there. I can share with you a testimony. One day, I went to a rehearsal, and there was a group of guys playing. It wasn't in our congregation. There was a guy, an English guy, South African. He was sick, and I wasn't aware of it. But when I came into the venue, we were rehearsing. Later, the guy came to me and said to me, "Matthew, when you entered the venue, I felt like there was a wind coming behind you and it hit me because I had pain on my body and I got healed." I didn't know. We are carrier. The same wind, the same rushing wind that came on the day of Pentecost, the same spirit dwells inside of you, that's inside of us. Therefore, when we respond appropriately to the wind, guess what? There is a revival. You know, when the nations came on the day of Pentecost, that didn't just happen because the Holy Spirit came. Yes, there was the sound of the rushing wind, but that happened because the disciples, they responded appropriately to the sound that they heard. Now, the people outside, they heard the wonders of God that the disciples were speaking. So, in other words, if we do have communion with the shepherd, guess what? We're going to feed as well the sheep like Peter. Because Peter has come to a place of being secure that Jesus was not offended any longer. Remember, Peter denied him 3 times and then Jesus resurrected. Now Jesus comes to him and says, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yes." "Do you love me?" Yes. 3rd time he started crying because Peter still has a record of his failure. Now Christ demonstrating that he forgave him, that he dealt with the issue. He entrusted him, the sheep. So the fragrance of Jesus, there is that overflow that happens because we've come to a place of really knowing our position and we are aware of who, of what God is doing. And that's our calling. That's our calling. We are living sometimes dry lives where it's very hard for even the world to see Christ in us because we're just not aware of what we have received. Like I said, I didn't come so that you may have a to-do list. No. Just want to remind you of the inheritance you have received in Christ. Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope that we have in Him. What is the inheritance that we have in Him?" Bible says, as long as the heir is still a child, he's no different from a slave. Because the child doesn't know his inheritance. But we have a king. Our shepherd is a king. He's the King of Kings. He's the one who cares. But we have to know it. We have to know it. We have to know it. It's like the father saying to a child, "You must go to school." The child thinks the father is putting pressure on him. No. The father loves him because he cares about his future. He hasn't just been in his mind to the place where he understands the why of doing things. Sometimes God has asked us to do things that we do not understand. God, what God expects of us is to obey, because he knows. And I feel this is the word for somebody here. God is saying, don't try to control him and what he's saying. God is saying to you, just obey. Remain obedient. If you control him, it's rebellion. And rebellion is witchcraft. The one thing that the power of darkness has, one thing, is rebellion. Trust him, because he loves you. He may be asking you to do something currently, but God is saying to you, just walk in it. Obey. You know, the Israelites, God says to them, they had to walk around Jericho 7 times. All of them, 7 times. This is kids, dads, and mom. Imagine with kids, 7 times. Like crazy. 7 times. But you know what? When they were marching, they were responding. They were responding to the voice of God. They were coming into agreement with one another. Why? While responding to the voice of God. They were busy obeying while they were marching. So that sound was responding to the voice that said, march. And they were coming into agreement between heaven and earth. Therefore, when they obeyed, the world couldn't resist. Because heaven and earth became one. The sound of God and the sound of the people became one. Therefore, Jericho had to fall. It fell flat completely. There are many things that are still hanging there because we don't want to do. We don't want to respond to the voice of God. We don't want to do that. It looks crazy. We don't understand. But God said 7 times. It looks crazy, but do it. Trust him. Because he knows and he cares. He loves us. He loves us. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. This is a statement of faith. Surely goodness and mercy. Many times we speak this scripture, but I just don't know if we truly understand what it really means. Remember, scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, Jesus didn't just bring gifts when he came. Jesus was the gift. There came a time when God said to Abraham that I am your exceeding reward. You know, when we come to God, you know what he does? He gives himself. Therefore, he receives us as a host and he honors, he gives of himself. So when we speak about the goodness, the mercy, and all of that has to do with who God is. It's not just a thing. God doesn't do just things. God doesn't create a consumeristic, the Bible says he lived amongst us. He was full of grace and truth. When we speak in the new covenant about mercy, when we speak about the goodness, actually, we speak about Christ, because he said that the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10. But I've come to give life and life in abundance. You know, God is good, but how do we experience his goodness? When we choose to behold who he is. Because when we behold who he is, we become who he is. Scripture says, as we are beholding his glory, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. When we behold his goodness, it changes our countenance. It affects who we are. And it becomes the only choice we can have to dwell in his house. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. I would love you to stand, and I would love us to pray. You know, there is praying and praying. Sometimes, when we are in trouble, that is when our prayer become very zealous. But many times that reflects where our heart is toward God. I want us to pray first and say, Lord, give me grace to behold who you are, to behold your glory. While they will be playing just an instrumental, I will have us to really speak to God. Speak to God as if this is the only chance that you have to speak to God. Jesus said, my house shall be called an house of prayer. And if you feel like you're squeezed and you're stuck in your chair, you feel free to walk around, to go wherever you want. If you want to be on your knees, feel free. But I would love us to really pray that God will give us grace to behold who He is. To behold who He is. To behold His goodness. Just where you are, lift your prayers to Him. Lift your voice to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yes, Lord. Lord, give us grace to behold who you are. To behold your glory. Hallelujah. God, sometimes we focus on other things and we focus on other matters and we forget to focus on the ultimate thing. God, today we bring our hearts. We bring our lives before you. Lord, we want to know you. 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 You are the good shepherd. We want to behold who you are. Lord, the world tells us that things aren't going well. But your word shows to us, God, that you are good. And that your mercies endure forever. Oh God, this is what we want to believe. This is what we want to believe. Nothing else but your word. Nothing else but your word.
The next prayer I would love us to do is found in Psalm 80, from verse 1 to verse 3. It says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. If there are matters in your life where you truly need the Lord to come and restore, if there is any area that you acknowledge that has been, where there is brokenness, whether it's a spiritual matter, whether it's a physical matter, or it's a natural matter, whether it's a disease, want to join the psalmist and say, would you restore us? Stir up your might. Come and save us. You know, in salvation, there is healing. There is deliverance. There is eternal life. There is health. All of that is found in the word salvation. I want us to lift our voice and say, Lord, restore us. If there isn't anything like that in your own life, then pray for the country. God, restore us. God, revive us. God, revive us. We are all living in fear. We don't know what's going on in the country. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. But if we do not choose to raise our voice to speak to Him, nobody will. Scripture says, the prayer of the righteous, valley of much. We won't be silent, Lord. Lord, we won't be silent. Because we care for this nation. Lord, bring our lives. Restore us, Lord. Restore us. Restore the joy of our salvation. Lord, restore the joy of our salvation. Lord, restore the joy of our salvation. Restore your people, God. Restore those who are broken.
Restore those who are hurt, Lord. Those who are offended, God. We pray, God, that you, that they will reposition themselves, Lord, in your wings, Lord. For you said in your word, you shall come as the Son of Justice with healing in your wings. Oh, God, we pray that you restore our relationship with you. We pray, God, where there have been some communication breakdown, that God will restore our communion with you. We'll restore our communion with you. We pray, God, that you will know that you are the host, that you are the host, that you are the host, that you are welcoming us and celebrating who we are. We pray for those here that are prodigal sons, that they will know as they come back home, you will put a robe upon them. You will give them a ring. You will give them sandals. You will celebrate their destinies, Lord. You will celebrate their identity. And you will commission them into the things that you have called them to. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you reveal to us again what it truly means to walk with you as your sheep and you as our shepherd. God, we pray that you restore our ability to hear from you.
Just want to ask her, if there is anyone here, you are struggling to hear the voice of God. Many times, perhaps people have words for you, but by yourself, maybe it's been a while that you haven't heard really from the Lord. I will have you to lift your hands where you are, and I'm going to pray from this side. If you're here and you're struggling to hear from God, thank you for those hands. Or even if you have never heard the voice of God, I want to encourage you as well. Thank you for those hands. I would love you to put your hands as if you are receiving something. You know, as if you are receiving a gift. Just do it as an act of faith. And I would love to ask those who didn't lift their hand to start praying in the Spirit. Just to start praying in the Spirit. And I'm gonna be praying as well over them. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. You said in your word that your sheep hears your voice. These are your sheep. These are your people. These are your people. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that anything, Lord, that is standing between them and you, hindering them to hear from you, that from today, God, you will open the ears. You will open the natural ears. You will open the spiritual ears to hear your voice. Lord, even those that have been hearing other voices, or those who have been hearing voices of deception, voices of the enemy, voices of man, intimidating them, God, today, you restore the hearing. Your people will hear your voice. You said, my sheep hears my voice, and I repeat the scripture over them. I speak it over them, that from today, they will be able to have divine directions. Divine directions. Lord, I pray that you restore the connection, the ability to connect with you, the ability to hear from you, the ability to sense from you, even the five senses, God, that they will become sensitive to your voice. God, I pray that by your Spirit, that each and every one of them will grow in hearing the voice of the Lord, in hearing the voice of the Lord. Hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Give them hearts, hearts of sheep, hearts of sheep, hearts of sheep, hearts of sheep. Lord, you are the one who changes, removes the heart of stone and pulls the heart of flesh. Thank you that you care for them. Thank you that some of them will be receiving dreams, prophetic dreams over this country, prophetic dreams over their families, even over their lives, in the name of Jesus. God, thank you that some of them will start receiving instructions, even in their workplaces, God, in the name of Jesus. Some of them, Lord, will have words in the congregation for the church, Lord, and for the church as a body. God, thank you that you are restoring the ability to see. Some of them, God, you will give them sight. You will give them sight like never before. They will start, Father God, seeing things, Lord. They will start seeing things in the dream. Oh, Father God, just like Jesus did, just like Jesus said to Nathanael, I saw you while you were still under the tree. Thank you, God, that you are restoring the sight. You are restoring the ears. Thank you that your anointing is here.
And the last prayer that we're going to do is, is there anybody with a need for healing, physical healing? Is there anyone with physical healing needs? All right. Anyone else? Perhaps if not you or somebody that you're trusting in terms of physical healing. All right. All right, we're going to pray for. What's your name? Antra. All right. Okay, I would love you to stretch your hands towards her. We're just going to do a prayer of agreement. Lord, thank you that your word says, by your stripes, we were healed. Thank you that by your stripes, she was healed. And we reinforce that healing of our life. We speak to that disease, we speak to that illness to move out of her life now in Jesus' name. Thank you that this is your daughter in whom you are well pleased. Thank you that this morning you've hosted her in your presence and that your anointing is on her head. Thank you, God, that even in this moment, your anointing brings the healing over her. And I thank you that, God, even in this moment, by your hands, Lord, you bring the healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you that you restore her. You restore her. You restore her. You restore her. That you heal her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we speak an overflow that the same healing that will do over her will start happening as she lays the hands over the sick. Lord, we thank you that you release an anointing for physical healing over her life now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that in such a time as this, Lord, you are doing a new thing. Thank you, God, that you will use her life as a bridge. As a bridge, as a bridge to usher people into destinies. You will use your life as a bridge to usher people into their callings, Lord, into the divine mandates. Lord, thank you that you will send people that are struggling in confusion. She will be the bridge that will facilitate them to have clarity over their lives, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blessing and the gift that she has, Lord. Lord, thank you that you released an anointing. Well, Father God, for admin, God, thank you that you've called the Lord in such a time as this, Lord, to make a difference. And we speak life over her. We thank you for an overflow. We thank you for the fragrance of Jesus that rests upon her. In the name of Jesus, amen. I just felt when I was praying that God is saying he's going to use you in physical healing. I want to encourage you, whenever there are people with disease, just pray for them. Lay your hands on them. And you'll see it's going to grow, it's going to grow, it's going to grow, it's going to grow. It's going to multiply. Yeah, I also felt that God will send you people in your life that are struggling with confusions in terms of life decision. And God will give you wisdom to give them clarity about where they're going. God is going to use your life as a bridge. Yeah, just remain attached to him. Just remain connected to him. That's why I encourage you on that. Yeah. I also felt on my heart when I was praying, just this little word that God is saying. God says, I care, I care, I care for you. Do not worry, I care, I care, I care for you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but what I felt on my heart, God's saying, I care, I care, I care for you. Do not worry. And also God will give you a gift of encouragement. I felt on my heart that the Lord will give you words of encouragement. Sometimes you may start in the time soon coming meeting people that are kind of either depressed or complaining, but God will give you wisdom to encourage them. Sometimes it might not necessarily be from your cognitive, but the Lord will lead you into a place where you often be an encourager. Therefore, do not complain. Do not complain at all. Even if there are things up in your life, don't do it, because there is an anointing of encouragement over your life. Amen? Thank you.
One last thing that I was... just felt God laid on my heart is also there's situations in people around us, and sometimes we think that God can't do anything there, and it's maybe family situations or at work, and you see God is not there. God is actually there. And like Pastor Matthew said, that we must connect with the presence of God. Connect with the presence of God. Sometimes we are the carrier of the presence of God in those situations. And I just want to pray for that, to encourage us. There's people that we are looking at right now, we think God cannot save them. There's companies, there's people working at that companies, we think that God cannot save them. And God can save them. God can change some things. There's situations that we want to run away from and not follow God. Like I said, that sometimes we just want to get away. We just want to do our own thing and not connect with the presence of God and what God wants to do. I just want to pray for that. Father, yes, Lord, I just feel, Lord, that some of us, we just need to repent, Lord, of not listening to your word, God, and not just looking at you, Lord, and to understand your ways, Lord. We decided, Lord, that that person or this situation or this company, it's too hard for you to save. It's just over the wall. It's just too bad, Lord. There's so much destruction. It's never going to turn. And Lord, today, Lord, we declare that everywhere, Lord, you save. That everywhere you are there, Lord. And your hand is not too short to save. And you are a mighty God, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we can connect with your presence. That we can even walk. That we can bring your presence in situations. That we will be the man of God and the woman of God. Standing there and proclaiming your name in Jesus' name. And Lord, right where now where there's situations, I send these companies, there's places where we found ourselves. That we've up to now, we used to say that this is too hard for you to change something. And Lord, we repent of those words and we say, Lord, you can save. You can change it. You can turn things around. And we come today, Lord, and I just pray for all of us, Lord, that we will just see you again and know what you are doing right now. And thank you, Father, that we can walk from here and that we can represent you, that we can connect with you, Lord, because we are made in the image of God. Thank you that you see each one, Lord, in your image. That we are image bearers of God. We are bringing the presence of God where we go. As we worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.